Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus, here again these passages from the readings for today from 1 Kings. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And the words of our Lord, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Fight or flight? Those are the two alternatives that are essentially programmed into us when we're in a tough situation, when we're tested, when we're cornered. We either fight or we flee. But what happens when you can neither fight nor flee? That's usually the basis of what we call stress and anxiety, when you can't box your way out or run your way out. Our Old Testament text this morning gives us a third option. It's the overlooked option, the one we don't naturally seek and the one we won't naturally take. Not fight nor flight, faith. Elijah fought. Oh, he fought. He fought like no other prophet fought. He fought 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Baal's girlfriend Asherah gathered at Mount Carmel. Now, that was a fight. The challenge, one bull for Baal, one bull for Yahweh, each on its altar with wood but no fire. And the prophets would call down fire in the name of Baal, and Elijah would do the same in the name of Yahweh. Elijah versus the prophets of Baal in a prophetic smackdown of pay-per-view proportions. The prophets of Baal prayed and they danced and they cut themselves until they were bleeding while Elijah taunted them from the sidelines. Hey, what's the matter? Is your God asleep? Is he gone to the bathroom? What's the problem here? Nothing, no response, no one answered, no fire. And then Elijah built an altar for the Lord, put the bull on the altar with the wood, soaked everything down with water three times over, and prayed a decidedly unreligious prayer that basically went like this: now. And fire from heaven consumed the bull, the wood, the altar, and everything around it. And the 450 prophets of Baal were rounded up and killed. I don't know what happened to the 400 prophets of Asherah. What a victory this was for Elijah. What a vindication for the name of Yahweh. No doubt as to who is in charge here. No doubt, that is, until Elijah goes back to Jezreel, where Queen Jezebel was waiting for him, and she wasn't happy. I swear to the gods that I'm going to do to you what you did to them. By morning. And all of a sudden, Elijah the prophet is afraid, and he flees for his life into the wilderness. Fight or flight, you can fight the false prophets, but you can't fight the queen, so you flee. Victory turns into defeat, or so it would seem. The Lord, who was so strong, so in charge, so mighty, so powerful at Mount Carmel, is nowhere to be seen in Jezreel. Elijah, who single-handedly defeated 450 prophets, is forced to flee the threats of a woman. In the Old Testament, nothing more insulting than to flee the threats of a woman with revenge on her mind. And so what do you do? He flees. He heads straight for Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, to get a clearer word from the Lord. It was kind of an exodus in reverse, huh? From Promised Land back to Sinai for, oh yes, you guessed it, 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah ditches his servant and he goes it alone. A kind of one-man Israel heading in reverse, fleeing from the Promised Land, no longer trusting the power of God to save. He thought he was the only one left. He says it over and over again. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. Dejected, he curls up under a broom tree, which isn't much of a tree, and he prays to die. It's enough. I've had it, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's. And there is a lot of truth to that. Elijah was no better than his father's, nor are we better than our fathers. Chief of sinners though I be, that's what St. Paul called himself, and you and I dare not confess any less than that. Chief of sinners, not just pretty bad, bad to the core. We are no better than anyone, whether those who came before us, those who will come after us, those who are not in our midst. No matter how great the things we've done, no matter how many battles we've won, no matter how many kingdoms we've conquered, no matter how many prophets we've defeated, we are no better than our fathers, and yes, we deserve to die. This is true. The wages of sin is death. We deserve it. So did Elijah. You ever feel like Elijah under the broom tree? One of those days, weeks, years, where you just want to curl up under the nearest broom tree in the desert and die. You work, you slave, you pray, you expect visible success, some tangible results, a return for your investment, and you see defeat snatched from the jaws of victory, and everything that you've worked for seems to have fallen apart and come to nothing. That's Elijah. He's run out of fight. And he doesn't have much flight left in him either. And so he just wants to die. And if we're honest about it, so do we at times. We just want to die. And sometimes we even say it more or less melodramatically, I just could die. And the Lord says, I can help you out there. In a sense, he's right. We need to die. Each of us, we need to die to ourselves. We need to die to our expectations. We need to die to our agendas. We need to die to all the ways that we obligate God and try to wrap him around our fingers and hold him accountable to our expectations. We need to die to those inner idolatries of ours. Oh, we're not troubled by the Baals and the Asherahs. But we have these fears and loves and trusts that are not in God above all things. All those things that interfere with our worship, all those things that mess up our receiving God's gift, all those things that make noise in our service of prayer and praise and thanksgiving, all those things that distract and deflect us, we need to die to our sin. We need to die to ourselves and our own justifications. And we need to rise, too. And it's not just a death, it's a death and a resurrection. And that's God's way of doing things. He needs to kill us, but he needs to raise us to life again, too. And God is gracious, and he's merciful, and he's patient, and he's forgiving. And the angel of the Lord, not just any angel, the angel of the Lord, Christ, pre-incarnate, Christ, before he took on flesh, he comes to the discouraged prophet with a word. Arise and eat. Those are gracious words. Those are inviting words. Those are gospel words. Get up. Arise from the death of your despair and your unbelief. Eat. Be strengthened and be nourished with food. And at his head, some freshly baked bread sitting on some coals and a jar of water. Bread and water. In the wilderness, just like the manna from heaven, just like the rock that was stricken for water with Israel in the Exodus. And so Elijah nibbled and he sipped, and then he laid back down again. It's like me most mornings, you know. You get up and couldn't we put the snooze alarm on for just a little bit more? Oh, we do that too. We nibble and we sip at the gifts of Christ. And then we go back to sleep. We snack on salvation as though it were popcorn in the theater of life. And then we go back to our depressed slumbers, wondering why nothing has changed. Would we make a greater effort to be here in church if Jesus made a grand and glowing visible appearance? Would that change our priorities any? What if some great grand miracle happened in the Lord's Supper and the bread actually looked like the flesh of Christ that it is, and the wine actually looked like the blood of Christ that it is, we wouldn't want to eat and drink it, I'm sure of that. But we would marvel at the miracle, and we would demand to see more of it. What if Jesus actually stood here forgiving your sins and pronouncing his benediction on you at the end of the service? Do you think he'd come a little earlier? Do you think he'd stay till the end? Why don't we? Why don't we? You know why we don't? Because we don't believe. Help thou my unbelief. It seems that the times that we are most in need of the bread of life, the times when we need that stream of living water that flows from the cross to us, the times when the journey is too great for us, is the very time we check out and we stay away and we nibble at what the Lord lays out as a hearty, bounteous meal. Elijah just had food and drink plunked down next to his head. And what does he do? He takes a sip and a nibble, and he goes back to sleep. A second time, Christ comes to him, gives him a nudge. It says touches him. I'd like to think it's a little bit of a kick. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. Those are words for our ears too. Arise, you discouraged and downtrodden and depressed child of God, get up and eat this bread from heaven that is given for you. Drink this heavenly wine that is poured out for you. The journey that is your life, your death, your resurrection, it is too great for you. And without this food, you cannot run the race that is set before you. Without this food and drink, you will die in your wilderness of sin and death. Without this food and drink, your faith will shrivel up and you will have only yourself to blame for it. It's been put right next to your head. The Lord isn't for nibbling and sipping. He's for eating and drinking, for feasting at a lavish banquet table that never ends. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and live forever. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and I will raise him up on the last day. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Elijah lasted 40 days and nights on bread and water from heaven. And that was only a foretaste. Huh? We have more. Jesus says, whoever feeds on my flesh, that is this flesh which I give for the life of the world, and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Here is true food, my friends, a bread that is beyond any bread the world has to offer, a bread you don't work for but you receive as a gift. Here is true drink, a vintage heavenly wine poured out from the cross for you to eat and to drink with this promise, I will raise you up on the last day. Here the fruits of Jesus' death on the cross come flowing to you, are placed on your tongue, as surely as the bread and the water was plunked next to Elijah's head. It's right there for you. There is more than bread and water in this wilderness. There is living bread, the crucified and risen flesh of Christ. There is heavenly wine, the blood of Christ, poured out for your forgiveness, your life, your salvation, food and drink that will bring you to your destination, to the promised land, to your home with God in Jesus. The journey is too great for you. Do not try to go this without the proper nourishment. You can't make it. You won't make it. Your strength to endure, to conquer, to live is not your own, but Christ, whose death and life are now your own. Sin and death will have you trapped like a Jezebel breathing threats every single day against you. Remember the word that conquered the prophets of Baal. Remember the word that fed the prophet in the wilderness. Remember the word made flesh, who gave his flesh for the life of the world and for your life. It's not about fighting. It's not about fleeing. Not when it comes to sin, death, devil, the law, hell, your life. It's not fight or flight. It's faith. Trust in the promise of the bread of life, who is Jesus. Arise, eat. The journey is indeed too great for you, but it is not too great for him, and it is not too great for you in him. Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you, for your forgiveness, for your life, for your journey, forever. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.